Steph, thank you very much for reading that. We'll do keep the Bibles open on page 1090. And on the tables in front of you, you'll find a slip of paper. And on one side, it's got an outline of what we're looking at here as we come to the end of our series in John's Gospel that we've been looking at over the Easter period. Why don't I lead us in a prayer as we come to look at this part of the Bible. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for John's Gospel. Thank you for your Spirit guiding him and prompting him to record these words that Steph has just read that we can look at now, words that inform us of the life and teaching and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we pray that these old words would be living words, would be new and fresh truth to us this evening. Whoever we are, wherever we stand with you, however much of your love and forgiveness we know in our own lives, Father, please would you take these words and grow us in that understanding and use these words to draw us to yourself. Amen. Well, on Wednesday evenings, this Wednesday evening just gone, we had a great start to our Christianity Explored course, CE Central, as we're calling it, something that we're doing together here at St. Peter's as a church family. And we had over 50 people sitting down around tables enjoying supper together and then beginning to explore the relevance of the Christian faith for themselves around the tables. And it was a great evening. If you missed it, it's not too late to jump on board this Wednesday, 7:45, turn up and enjoy the evening with others. One of the key questions that we're going to be looking at as the course unfolds, in addition to who is Jesus and why did he come, is what would it mean to follow him? And on the CE Central course, we're using Mark's Gospel to help us answer that question. But this evening, we're using John's Gospel to answer that same question, because that's really what's going on in today's passage at the end of John's Gospel as he wraps up his account of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What he's telling us as he draws his themes in his Gospel to a close is what it means for those who've read his Gospel to now follow Jesus. So he's saying at the end of his Gospel, look, you've read my book, you've got to the end, now do what it says, now live it out in your lives, be a follower of Jesus. You've read who he is, you've read why he's come. It's now your turn to live out that in your lives. And John uses this final conversation between Jesus and Peter, one of the original followers, to show us what it would mean for us to be followers of Jesus today. And John says three things. You can see they're down there on the outline. Being a follower of Jesus will mean being forgiven by Jesus, being fed by Jesus, and keeping on following him wherever that may lead us. So let's have a look at each of those in turn. First of all, John says, being a follower of Jesus will mean being forgiven by him. Just look back with me at the passage that Steph read a moment ago from verse 15. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. So the scene is after breakfast on the shore of Lake Galilee. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he's just shared a meal, breakfast, with his disciples. And then he initiates this conversation with one of them, with Peter. And three times he asks Peter, do you love me? Nowhere is forgiveness mentioned in this interaction between Peter and Jesus, but that is what is going on here. In this conversation, not Peter earning his forgiveness by giving the right answer, yes, I love you, but Jesus offering this man forgiveness by asking the question, But why three times? Why does it all happen three times? And it's clearly a pointed thing because we're told Peter's hurt that Jesus asked three times. Well, turn back with me in your Bibles, four pages back into John's Gospel to page 1086. It takes us back to the night of Jesus' arrest before his crucifixion. And in Matthew's Gospel, we're told on this same evening, Peter had said in front of all the other followers of Jesus, "Jesus, if all of these guys leave you and abandon you in your moment of need, I never will." I can imagine he'd be incredibly popular for making that particular comment. "You can depend on me when it counts." And then we read this happened just a few hours after he made that bold statement. Have a look with me at chapter 18 and verse 15. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple who was known to the high priest came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." And then look down to verse 25. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself. So they asked him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a cock began to crow. Three times Peter denies being a follower of Jesus, having said that he would never do something like that. And now here he is on the shore of Lake Galilee, talking to the man who he said he didn't know. And after breakfast, Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me, Peter?" Three times you said you didn't even know me. So I'm going to ask you three times where you stand with me. Who's the real Peter? Three opportunities to set the record straight in terms of where you stand in your relationship with me. And Peter sees it for what it is and he says, "I love you, I love you, I love you." Instead of, "I don't know him, I don't know him, I don't know him." Brought to show you one of my favorite books. I don't know if you know this book. It's a big book. It's not a great book, but it's a big book. Not a literary classic. Guess How Much I Love You. And if you don't know it, it's the story of little Nut Brown Hare and being put to bed, his bedtime, being put to bed by big Nut Brown Hare. And just as he's getting him all snuggled in and down for the night, little Nut Brown Hare says to big Nut Brown Hare, "Guess how much I love you." And then he proceeds to tell him as the story unfolds. And he stretches out his hands as far as he can. And he says, "I love you as much as this." And then he says, no, hang on, "I love you as much as this." And he reaches up as far as he can, his little Nut Brown Hare, who's quite small. And then he looks across the fields where they live and he says, "I love you as far as the farthest field." And then just as he's getting really sleepy and ready for bed, he looks up into the sky and there's the moon shining in the sky. And he says to Big Nut Brown Hare, "I love you as far as the moon." And then he closes his eyes and he falls asleep. And as he's drifting away, Big Nut Brown Hare leans over and he gives him a goodnight kiss. And he says to him, "I love you as far as the moon and back again." And that's the end of the story. See, it's a great story. It's not a literary classic, but it's a great story. And if anyone wants to borrow that after me, you're more than welcome. Why do I mention one of my favorite stories? It's what's going on here in our passage. Little Nut Brown Hare is the one doing all the talking. "I love you this much, I love you that much, I love you this much." And yet the clear take-home message of the book is that however much Little Nut Brown Hare loves Big Nut Brown Hare, the bigger hare loves the little one even more. And here we've got Peter and Jesus in this conversation. And actually it's Peter who's the one who keeps saying, "I love you, I love you, I love you." But the take-home message of this conversation is Jesus saying to Peter through these questions, actually, Peter, I love you more, even more than you love me. Because in asking these questions, he's making it clear to Peter. He's saying, Peter, look, I know what you've done. And I know what you said about me. I even know how many times you said it. But I still love you. I still love you even more than you say you love me. Three questions to match the three denials. Forgiveness to match Peter's failure. And you know, this is where it begins for anyone who wants to be a follower of Jesus. It starts with forgiveness. Forgiveness from Jesus to us. His forgiveness to match our failure in our relationship with him. None of us, to be sure, have denied knowing Jesus in just the same way that Peter has. But actually, it only takes a moment to reflect on the way that we live our lives, to know that much of the time, we're trying to keep as much distance between us and Jesus. We're trying to live independently of him. And at times, we're trying to make out that we don't know him. We've never known him. He's a stranger to us. And like Peter, Jesus knows exactly how we live, how we treat him, the things that we say in our hearts, in our minds, with our mouths about him. He knows us through and through. And yet through this part of John's gospel in our passage this evening, he's saying, Rupert, do you love me? He's saying, David, do you love me? He's saying, Becky, do you love me? By asking us the question, he's giving us the opportunity to be forgiven. He's showing us that he still loves us, even though he knows what we've done, how we've lived, offering us forgiveness to match our failure in our relationship with him. Being a follower of Jesus, it begins here. It begins not with us saying, Jesus, I love you, but with him asking us the question, where do you stand with me? What's true of you? Do you love me? And some people, you know, when they hear that question from Jesus, do you love me, they think it's a ridiculous question because they think Jesus is ridiculous and they think he's entirely irrelevant to their lives. And their answer to that question is no. No, I don't love you. But thanks for asking. And maybe that's you. Maybe you think that that is a ridiculous question. An irrelevant question for you to consider. I think maybe far more common for people who find themselves in church on a Sunday evening is perhaps to answer that question by saying, yes, of course, Jesus, I love you. But they have no idea why he needs to ask them that question. That they're so disconnected from how they live, from how they really treat him day to day, that they're unaware that there's anything in their lives for him to forgive. Do I love you, Jesus? Yes, of course I do. Doesn't everyone? Why do you ask? And then there are others who, like Peter, when they hear that question from Jesus, do you love me? They know exactly what he's asking. They know why he needs to ask because they actually know, they're aware of the way that they've lived and the way that they've treated him, the way that they've tried to keep him at a distance in their lives. And sometimes that can be painful. That can be a painful experience to have to recall those moments in our lives. And Jesus doesn't spare our blushes. Do you see, Peter is offended in verse 17. He's hurt that Jesus should ask him the third time. And yet Jesus doesn't draw back from causing offense, from making us feel uncomfortable for our failure. Because his forgiveness is more important than that. And some people recognize that that is exactly what Jesus is offering here. And that that's exactly what they need in their lives. And when they see it for what it is, they grab hold of it while they can. So let me ask you this evening, what kind of person are you as you hear that question coming at you? Do you love me? What's your answer to Jesus? No, I don't. Ridiculous. Or, yes, of course, why are you asking? Or, like Peter, Lord, you know everything. You know everything about me. I can't believe you're still asking. I do love you. Forgiveness from Jesus for your failure is what's available. Will you see it for what it is and grab it with both hands while you can? Being a follower of Jesus begins here, being forgiven by him. And then secondly, John says that being a follower of Jesus means both being fed by him, but also having the opportunity as it comes to feed others. So once Peter is being forgiven by Jesus, Jesus then gives him a job to do. Do you see in verse 15? Feed my lambs. And then in verse 16, take care of my sheep. And then verse 17, feed my sheep. It sounds like three jobs. It's actually just one. On behalf of Jesus, feeding his flock, his followers. Again, just turn with me back in your Bibles a few pages to page 1076, to John chapter 10, just for a moment. John chapter 10, and if you look with me there at verse 11 on page 1076, Jesus is speaking and he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the one who has laid down his life to win the forgiveness that he offers to his sheep. But at the end of John's gospel, in John chapter 21, Jesus is giving Peter a job, if you like, as an under-shepherd, under him, to tend and to feed his flock on behalf of Jesus. And it's surely no coincidence that Jesus asks Peter to feed his sheep after breakfast, after Jesus has just fed all of his followers on the beach. Jesus says to Peter, provide food for my lambs, just after he has provided fish for them to eat. Come back to chapter 21. If you were here last week, you'll remember when we looked at it, how that scene unfolded. But in John chapter 21, we read verse 3, they're back in Galilee. Simon Peter says, verse 3, I'm going out to fish. We'll go with you, they said. So they went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Jesus is on the shore, verse 6. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And then verse 11, end of verse 11, just at the top of the page there, the net was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Do you see? When they tried to feed themselves, they got nothing. They worked at it all night and got nothing. But when they did what Jesus told them to do, they had more than enough. They had plenty to eat. They got fed by him when they couldn't feed themselves. What Jesus is saying to Peter, I think even Peter will get this. Peter, I have just fed you 153 fish for breakfast. That's a lot of fish. Now you feed my sheep. Peter, all you have to do is point people to me, because I'm the one who can feed people abundantly. Peter's got nothing to offer them, but Jesus has got everything that they need. And they're his sheep anyway. Peter just has to take the sheep to the shepherd. As simple as that. And that's the job Peter's been given. It's the job that everyone in Christian leadership has been given, to be an under-shepherd, under the good shepherd, feeding his sheep by taking them to the shepherd. And that's what I'm doing right now in this sermon, in case you hadn't spotted that, or in case you're wondering, I wonder what on earth he is doing up the front there. I'm the under-shepherd of this part of Jesus' flock. And what I'm doing here this evening, or any evening that I'm teaching the Bible, is feeding you with the words of Jesus Christ, taking you to your shepherd so that he can feed you. I've got nothing to offer you. I've got empty fishing nets. I've got no wisdom. I've got no insight. I've got no spiritual food that will enable you to grow and thrive in your Christian faith. All I can do is point you to the one who has everything that you need. And that's what I'm trying to do every single week. That's what's happening here on a Wednesday night at the moment with our CE Central. Opportunities for us to gather together and to be fed by Jesus, our shepherd. It's what's happening in house groups. It's what's happening on a Sunday morning through in the hall in lots of different age groups with all of our children being fed, lambs being taken by the under shepherds in that team to the shepherd to feed them. That's the job you've got. If you're in a leadership position, if you're a teacher in this church, that's what you're about. First, to be forgiven. You can't get away from that or beyond that. And then to feed his flock. And whoever we are, whether we're in a position of teaching, we're all sheep. We all need to be fed by the shepherd. So let me ask you, are you making the most of the opportunities that there are in this church to be fed by Jesus Christ? If you're here on a Sunday, are you listening to the sermon? Did you know that that's what it was there for? Not just to kill 25 minutes before we sing again. Wednesday night, will you take that opportunity to be here, to be fed by the shepherd? And then after that concludes in a few weeks' time, to be in a house group where week by week, along with others, we can be fed and feed each other. Forgiven, to be fed and feeding others by pointing them to Jesus. And then thirdly, John says, and we'll finish with this one, following Jesus means keeping on following him wherever that may lead. Have a look with me at verse 18 of John chapter 21. Very truly, Jesus says to Peter, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. So Jesus tells Peter what being a follower will mean for him personally, stretching out his hands and being led where he does not want to go. Every single follower of Jesus Christ is called to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him. And Jesus is saying here to Peter, for you, that will be a literal cross. And 30 years after this conversation took place on the shore of Galilee, that's exactly what happened to Peter in Rome under the Emperor Nero. His arms were stretched out and he was crucified for his faith. By tradition, we understand he was crucified upside down. And as soon as Jesus tells Peter what kind of death he would suffer for being one of his followers, he immediately says after that, follow me. Peter, keep on following me, even though I've just told you where following me will lead you. Keep on following me. And when Peter hears that, he instinctively turns to John, one of the other disciples, who's right there beside them, no doubt writing all this down for his gospel so that we can read it now. What about him? Peter says. What's going to happen to him? It's just like if you ask a child to do something like clear the table or something around the house or do the washing up, and they don't like what they've just been handed, so they immediately think of their siblings, not in a loving, caring kind of a way, but as in, I don't like the sound of that. What are they going to get? And then they'll kind of weigh up who's got the better deal here. Is that fair? I've got to wash up, but they're sweeping the floor. Not sure about that. And that's the tone of Peter's question to Jesus about John. I don't like what you just said to me, Jesus. It doesn't sound good. So what's going to happen to this guy? Look at Jesus' response, verse 22. Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you, Peter? You must follow me. In other words, Peter, it's none of your business what happens to John. Following me will mean different things for different people. And for some that will mean death, and for others that will mean life. And from our perspective, that doesn't make sense and it doesn't look fair, but that's not how it works, and actually that's not our concern. Our concern is to follow Jesus Christ. You must follow me, he says to Peter. That's your concern. Don't get distracted. Don't start playing that game of they've got it easier than me. That's not fair. You, Peter, you keep following me. Following Jesus means keeping on following him, wherever that will lead us. And you know, it may well be in this country, as our culture as a whole moves further away from its Christian heritage, detaches itself from the mooring it's had for the last 1,000 years. And as we begin to see the implications, work that out in culture, society, legislation, it may well be that keeping on following Jesus and being known as one of his followers becomes increasingly challenging and increasingly dangerous for us, as it ultimately was for Peter. And when that happens, yes, we will need each other, and we'll need to support and encourage each other as our fellow followers. But our primary concern will not to be to worry about what's happening to others and whether that's better or worse than what's happening to us. Our primary concern will simply be to keep our eyes on our shepherd and to keep following him. You, Jesus says, you must follow me. Being a follower of Jesus means, first of all, being forgiven by him. His forgiveness for our failure. He knows exactly what we've said. He knows exactly what we've done. And he still asks us the question. He gives us the opportunity to set the record straight. Will you see that for what it is and take it, grab it with both hands? Being forgiven by Jesus, being fed by him. He has everything that we need to sustain our faith in him. And then finally, following him and keeping on following him, wherever that will lead us. You, he says to Peter, you must follow me. It's all you need to do. Why don't we just take some moments of quiet? There'll be an opportunity to ask some questions in just a moment. But before that, to reflect, to pray, and then I'll lead us in a prayer in just a moment. Lord Jesus, as we prayed earlier in our prayer of confession, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know us inside out. You know everything that we've said and that we've done. You know how we live, how we think. You know what we need from you. You know that we need to come to you to be forgiven, to be fed. We need to fix our eyes on you. Please would you enable us as your sheep to do that, to receive from you everything that we need to enable us to keep on following you, wherever that leads us. Amen.